Welcome to This Week in the State Line, a conversation with the local people and the local topics you care about.
Welcome to This Week in the State Line. It's Steve Summers, and today we are talking about heritage here in the State Line. Jocelyn McLaughlin, the board president of the Ethnic Heritage Museum, is with us this morning. Hi, how are you, Jocelyn?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming in. Ethnic heritage, how important is that to the area? Before we even get into the museum or what's coming up for the Ethnic Heritage Museum, why is heritage so important to people in the area?
We all have a story. We all have a family story and the legacy where we came from. And it's important to be able to celebrate and honor our own history, but then to also recognize and honor the history and heritage of others. We can find really important similarities, common values, but then really unique and beautiful differences that make our community what it is.
What about those people who say, oh, you're just bragging about your heritage? Well, yeah. Hello. Isn't that the point?
Exactly. I mean, it's okay to be proud of your ancestry, your history. Again, there's been so much struggle and resilience and compassion and innovation through all of our histories that it's for us to pull apart and to bring out into the forefront. This is what my family has contributed. Hey, this is what your family has contributed. And to really bring about that pride of we're all just this big
melting pot, as they say in America, right?
You know, and that is a really common term, and I'm not a huge fan of that term, actually. You know, I think it's great in principle, but I kind of use the analogy of a salad, and a salad, it's better when it's not just lettuce, right? And so you add in the tomatoes, maybe onions, maybe it's a pasta salad, but it's all these different important components that make up this unique mixture. And so it's not just kind of conforming to one thing, which is an important distinction too, is to be able to celebrate your own heritage and allow others to celebrate their heritage and to give that grace and that space and to find the value in something different.
That's well said and well pictured because, you know, everybody says, oh, the melting pot of America. And that was a really good analogy with the salad. So I get that. But okay, so you're starting an Ethnic Heritage Museum. There's so many heritages. How do you pick and how many do you carry?
Yeah, that's always... a scale to consider, you know, how broad do we make our organization, for instance? So the Ethnic Heritage Museum, founded in 1989 in Southwest Rockford, as a place to preserve the cultural history of the settling ethnic groups or the original ethnic groups of Southwest Rockford. That includes African American, Latino, Hispanic, Irish, Italian, Lithuanian, Polish. And so it's our organization focuses more on the Southwest, the original Rockford, because that's where Rockford began. So focusing on that story and how that has grown into something larger for the community. And so there are definitely more heritages and cultures in our community than that, that make up our amazing city. But that's where we focus. And then we do partner with other organizations like the Nordic Center with Erlander for the Swedish and Scandinavian, Germans, you know, we're north a little bit. But I mean, so there's room in our community to celebrate all of these.
So you get to go to all of these festivals. Yeah. Festa Italiana, Polish Fest. You get to go to everything.
Yeah. And we might as well, right? A lot of good food, a lot of good music.
All right. Where is Ethnic Heritage Museum located at?
We're at the corner of South Main and Morgan Street at 1129 South Main. In 2016, we expanded our campus and became the Heritage Museum Park, which includes the Ethnic Heritage Museum that, again, was founded in 1989. But then it includes the Grand Ginestra House as well, which was built in 1857. And that historic house has a really unique, fascinating, and beautiful history, honoring the two prominent families that lived in that home that were business owners, involved in politics, and really the shaping of our early society. So a lot going on in our campus.
When is the Ethnic Heritage Museum open? And is it open to tours? I guess I should even ask that.
Yeah,
can I go and see all this?
Absolutely. We would love for everybody to come. We're open. We are a 100% volunteer organization. So we're actually only open one day a week. We're open on Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. You don't have to have a reservation to come. Just show up and we'll have guided tours through both museums. We do open for special events and private tours through the week, scout groups, homeschool and regular school trips, all kinds of things.
We are talking with Jocelyn McLaughlin, the board president of the Ethnic Heritage Museum here in Rockford. So where can I find you on social media to find out more details?
Yes. So our Facebook page, it's the Ethnic Heritage Museum. We have our website, ethnicheritagemuseum.org. We're on LinkedIn and all social media. And we try and submit all of our upcoming events to the various media outlets and to let everyone know of all the exciting things we have.
Well, we have a big gala we're going to talk to you about, and you're going to be able to go and attend this incredible evening that's coming up. But you just dedicated something this past week, right?
Yes, it was an amazing ceremony at Cedar Bluff Cemetery on Rural. The African American Gallery was approached by an individual, Mary Rose Phillip, actually. A shout out to her, who's an amazing partner with us. Anyways, so she reached out and said there was a formerly enslaved individual from the Civil War who never had a headstone at the cemetery. And so that became the mission. So the African American Gallery put together this awesome dedication to Robert Parker, who was a former slave and fought in the Civil War, lived in Rockford with his wife, Mary, died in Rockford, I believe in the late 1800s, but don't quote me on that. David Ruffin is definitely the expert on that. But we had live music with Dorothy Page Turner. It was a huge partnership with the Byron Museum and all sorts of Byron History Museum and all sorts of other entities, GAR, other veteran organizations, American Legion. It was a huge and wonderful.
You got me crying just thinking about it.
I know. I
just rave all this time.
Right. Yes. And come to find out, there are dozens of Civil War veterans, and I believe all of them or most of them are Black Civil War veterans. And so it's kind of becoming a bigger mission to start getting headstones for all of those individuals.
So. Is that where the gala comes in? You're trying to raise funds to help do these kind of activities?
Definitely. I mean, the gala, which is April 11th at Embassy Suites, doors open at 5. The program starts at 6. The whole purpose of that gala is to help us bring attention to the organization and raise funds for continued capital improvement projects. We have a barn restoration and stabilization we're going to be doing with the Grand Ginestra House. Obviously, these community projects of headstones and bringing to light these important pieces of history, the legacy and these individuals that made our community and then and now. And so it's important for us to continue doing work that, again, represents the past, but continues to represent the future and where we are now.
That's right. Your motto should be no one should go without a headstone. That is just one of those things that gave me the chills. So, so glad that we have the Ethnic Heritage Museum here to do that for us. And just the research that goes into that. The passion and the caring to think about even doing that. So.
Absolutely.
Is everything donated at that point? Does a monument company say, I'll make the headstone? Or, I mean, is that all expenses that you have to take care of?
There was sponsorship and donation for sure for that project. And so there will be... That'll have to be part of the discussion, right, is how do we make this project sustainable to bring headstones for everybody.
I'm wondering if this could be something that could be highlighted even nationally.
I would definitely. Why not?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's an important cause, and I'm sure this is not the only location. These gentlemen are wouldn't be the only ones, and so yeah, it definitely brings to the forefront a bigger topic.
EthnicHeritageMuseum.org for more details about the April 11th big gala at the Embassy Suites. Beautiful place, by the way.
It is.
It's going to be a great gala. And you say this evening is going to be filled with not just food, but all kinds of fare. Right?
Yes.
Fanfare and
so it's going to be, it's a variety show of sorts. So the program itself will consist of 6 performances. There will be Lithuanian poetry. We will have a Polish folk dancing, a Mexican folk dancing, another Latino dancing. Every gallery that is at the Ethnic Heritage Museum will be represented. Trinidora will be there with Celtic and Irish music to close the evening. Phenomenal Dolls, a local majorette dance company, will be performing that night as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Is there a dress code for this?
You know, I'm saying it's festive to formal, but not overly formal. So
it's not the Oscars, but it's a party.
Yeah. Come to have fun. And I'm hoping people, you know, at the end of the night will want to dance as well. So, yeah.
I love it. What a great conversation. Jocelyn McLaughlin, the board president of the Ethnic Heritage Museum. Again, go to their socials or ethnicheritagemuseum.org for more details. It's been such a pleasure having you. Please come back and tell us more how we can help.
I will. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org.
This week in the State Line is on. It's Steve Summers being joined by Corrine Sasso, and she is with the Keep Northern Illinois Beautiful branch here in the State Line area. Hi, Corrine. How are you?
Steve, it is so great to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, we love you anytime you're here in the studio because you're so full of energy, and we invited you in because Great American Cleanup is now on once again.
Yay! I love that! And you know, last time it was like one day.
Right.
Now it is the whole month of April. The whole month of May.
Month.
I mean, you pick the day because you've got a better shot at good weather than we ever did.
So you can clean up your neighborhood, your streets, or wherever you want,
right,
whenever
you want. The park, or the river walk, or outside your business, whenever you want. Get your friends, get your coworkers, get your family together. All ages are welcome. And you know what? When we do this with the kids, we model for them the behavior we want them to have.
Yeah.
We show them how to be stewards.
So when I'm like at a park and I pick up somebody's wrapper and throw it in the garbage, I've actually executed my right to celebrate Great American Cleanup
month? Absolutely, honey. You do. I would hope. I'd encourage you to do more than that. But yes, every litter bit helps.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Sorry.
That was beautiful, Corrine. All right, so the Great American Cleanup was usually just one day, but now we've expanded it throughout.
We've expanded
everywhere.
It. Yes. And this is happening in 200,000 other communities around the country. They might have a day or they might have a week. We here in the State Line said, you know, the weather here is a little iffy. Have you noticed that, Steve?
Yeah, just looking out the window any day of the week.
Yeah. So we're going to let people pick their own.
Which is really unique. So, all right, so I pick a day. I've got the family. We're going to do this June 15th, whatever.
Okay.
Where do I start?
You're going to start by looking on knib.org and sign up. Now, we're not making you sign up to sign your life away, but if you want the tools, if you want the equipment, if you want that safety vest, and you want those garbage-grabbing tongs, and you want that big yellow bag, we're going to get it to you. So you'll sign up, you'll tell us where and when you're going to clean, and then we'll ask you, well, where do you want to pick up your stuff? Because we've got a couple different locations that'll be more convenient to you than just down here near your station in South Rockford. So then once you've got it, then
you execute it. You go out and clean it up.
You go out and clean it up, yeah.
And then you close up the bag and you put it to the curb.
Actually, not this time because we don't know when you're cleaning.
Right.
So we can't have the trash guys out there for 2 months.
All right.
So instead, you're going to bring the bag home.
And put it in your own garbage.
Put it in your own garbage, yes. Put it in your own trash. Now, some of that stuff is recyclable, and if you want a separate bag for recyclables, great. And you're welcome to dump that bag, not the bag, but the contents of the bag, into your own recycling. Or if you'd like, you can bring those to either KNIB facility, and we will make sure that that recycled stuff gets recycled.
If I rented the vests and the tongs and all that stuff for my family to be safe, then I have to return it to you.
Yes, please.
And then we're set.
Then we're set. We're good to go. And you know what? We have some sponsors.
Oh, you do?
One of our sponsors is Bucifero McDonald's. The other one is Culver's. And they said, you know, we are so grateful that people are picking up trash. And I know some of it is from McDonald's and some of it's from Culver's. And it's not our fault. And we're really sorry. But thank you so much for cleaning it up. And we want to reward everybody who does that. But we don't know all 1,200 people. So can we give you some coupons to give to them?
Oh, that's very nice.
And they did. So, yeah, when you pick up your stuff, we're also going to get you some coupons to give to all your helpers.
Great American Cleanup is on whenever you want to do it with your family and friends. If I'm a business and I want to be a part of this, or I want to have my company have our employees get all dialed up and clean up around our parking lot or wherever.
Perfect.
Same thing, correct?
Same thing.
Reach out.
You know, and the benefits of doing that with your company, it's a team building thing. Yeah. And members of your corporation that don't necessarily know each other are going to be working together and they're going to be having a good time. It builds teams.
It really does. So I want to sponsor Keep Northern Illinois Beautiful,
yes,
KNIB, or I want to sponsor Great American Cleanup.
Yes, please.
I want to give you money. How do
yes,
I get
please.
A hold of you?
Oh, look on my website, knib.org, at whatever, what are they called? They're called programs. Whatever program you want to sponsor, there's a link there for you, or you can give us a call.
So this is now going to be Great American Cleanup whenever the families or businesses want to do it.
We're trying it this year. We'll see what happens.
Right. And so this is an experiment, and it could be good for all of us to experiment and try it and say, hey, that works out really well. Or I have a family reunion coming up. I think this would be a cool family thing.
Great time for the family to get together and really work together. And you know how beneficial this is, Steve? Last year, we had 3,500 volunteer hours cleaning up over 200 miles of streets, picking up 26.5 tons of trash.
That's a lot.
That makes a difference. You know, if the city of Rockford or Winnebago County had to pay for that, instead of having volunteers do it, they would have had to fork out $113,000.
So some people don't realize that KNIB, Keep Northern Illinois Beautiful, your recycling centers are located in McChesney Park, right? So there's
That's correct.
Location there.
8409 North 2nd Street.
The one on Hydraulic Road.
4665 Hydraulic.
And then your main office is at that same location.
That's correct.
All right, so those two locations, we can sign up for the Great American Cleanup or online.
Online.
All right. And if we don't want the vest, we don't want the tongs, we
go
can
ahead
still
and do it.
Do
but,
it.
But then we're not going to be able to track it, and I can't get you the coupons. Don't you want a free scoop from Culver's?
You are so good at guilting me into doing this. That's the only thing I could think of.
Well, do you know what one of the sponsors is this year?
No.
Midwest Family.
I love it.
I love it because you guys, you probably don't know this yet. You guys are going to get together and you're going to do a cleanup.
We're probably doing Sandy Hollow Road, I bet.
Ah, I sure hope you do.
That's a big road.
Oh, it's a big road. And you know, it's all the wind that just carries all that stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it does make a difference. And you can tell when someone has swept through that area because the roadways, the sideways of the roads look good. And it really does make a difference. So what am I missing? What's the one thing you want to tell somebody or anybody? All right, don't litter. We get that because that's
why
we have.
But it's out there.
Great American Cleanup.
Yeah.
So what would you like to tell anybody who's listening now?
That when we pick up litter, it helps our community. It not only increases environmental health, it promotes economic vitality. It deters crime. It creates a welcoming environment. It helps us when we clean up.
As simple, just bending over and picking something up.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's even simpler than that. Don't throw it out the first time.
Well, right. But again, you know, sometimes it just gets out there.
Sure.
And then we just need to pick it up.
Curious, the new garbage system that everybody's talking about, the new garbage cans.
Did you get yours?
How does Corrine feel about that?
Because
I love
it.
Mine.
So. Oh, no, they're great. They hold more. They're more ergonomic for the trash handlers. You're not going to be losing your lid because the lid is attached. Yeah. They're not round, so when they fall over, they're not going to roll down the street and get carried by the wind. They're pretty stable. They've got ballast in them. Mm-hmm. They're on wheels, so you can use leverage if it's too heavy for you. Oh, they're wonderful.
Were you a part of that at all? Did you?
I was not.
You're just glad to see the change.
I'm very happy for it. You know, you know what kills me, though, Steve, is how many, as I'm driving down the street, how many of the papers that are in the little bags are still attached that nobody's read yet.
Yeah.
So read that. That'll tell you how to do it, where to put them, what to put in there.
I'm glad you pointed that because I do see that all the time. The little envelope and package of instructions that come with the garbage cans are still on the handle.
Yeah.
You just rip it off and read it.
Just read it. Yeah.
It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And it makes such a big difference. And it's so helpful for the garbage pickup guys, too, and gals.
Oh, it is, you know? Yeah, it makes it so more economical for them. And I'm, you know, single person in a house, so I'm never going to fill it up in a week. That means they don't have to pick it up that often.
That's true.
And that's good for them, too.
All right, so keep Northern Illinois beautiful. The Great American Cleanup now on when you want to do it. And you can reach out to knib.org for details. And Corrine, it's very nice to have you in the studio. You need to come back more often.
Okay, cool.
Because usually Earth Day was the day we did all this, but now Earth Day is every day of the year.
Well, Earth Day is always every day. The official Earth Day, though, is coming up. And April 22nd.
Is there anything special you have planned for that?
Oh, for Earth Day?
Yeah.
Besides going out and celebrating Mother Nature, we've got our Earth Day Awards Banquet. And you know who's coming to talking about trash?
No.
Bruce Knapp, who runs the Winnebago County Landfill. Oh, man, you're going to get the skinny on what goes in there.
Oscar the Grouch was booked already for a previous engagement. Couldn't get out of the garbage can.
Couldn't get out of the garbage can.
No, I guess not. Well, it's good to have all this stuff going on, and we're so happy that you do what you do for our area. Keep NorthernIllinoisBeautiful.com for details about the Great American Cleanup now when you want to do it. Thank you so much, Corrine.
Thank you, Steve.
And more of This Week in the State Line in a moment.
In World War I, American fighter pilots covering a plane's rear position coined the phrase, "I've got your six," to mean "I've got your back." Through their service, veterans have our backs. Now we should have theirs. Learn more at gotyoursix.org, using the number 6.
Welcome back to This Week in the State Line. Rockford Mayor Tom McNamara now joining us this morning. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Steve, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great. So where do we start? Okay, so let's pick up where we left off last week, and it's unfortunate, but there have been some great GoFundMe accounts set up for our loved ones who were tragically taken away from us, and now we're going through all their services and funerals now. So how do you feel about the GoFundMes, and how does the city take a stance on that?
Yeah, so thanks so much, Steve. Obviously lost 5 lives last week, just totally senselessly, and each and every family is really hurting. This week has been just as hard as last week with their visitations and funerals taking place. You know, we're supportive. You know, I've personally, I think, donated to every one of the GoFundMes. I certainly support them. You know, the sad truth is, and I think anyone who has lost someone knows this, that losing someone is also can bring other burdens besides just the grief and the sadness and sorrow that you feel, which is obviously the foremost feelings. But the others is if it's someone who is working and if they're just injured and they may not be able to work, so they may not be able to bring money back into the house. If it's something as rudimentary as paying for the funeral costs, funerals are really expensive. And so these families have a variety of different economic backgrounds, have a variety of different needs. And so I certainly support their efforts. And you look at just an incredibly gracious community that we live in, and hope that folks are supporting them in their time of need. We're trying to do that on our side and hope to have a fund available soon for those families most impacted to help with some of their costs as well.
That was very beautiful as well, that the city council on Monday night had 5 roses set up on the table for the council for the entire Monday night. And you led everyone in a moment of silence, too. I thought that was very classy.
Thanks, Steve. I've said this now, I feel maybe too much, but maybe it can't be said enough. Each one of these stories, each one is more difficult than the next. And you just think about all the people impacted by just one loss of life. It just becomes overwhelming. So it's the least we can do as city council members. I've made sure that all the council members are aware of the visitations and funerals, and we've already attended the visitation and funeral for Jay Larson, and I'll be attending all the visitations and funerals for all those that passed last week. But really difficult time for our community, and hope that, you know, through kindness and speaking love, that we can get through these difficult times.
It's very hard for city council then at that point to kind of like, you know, turn the hat to, okay, now we have to try to figure out business. And the dog ordinance was one of the items that was addressed on Monday. That was some of the news coming out earlier this week in the city of Rockford. The dog ordinance was kind of shelved, right? Not happening this time.
So what you're discussing, Steve, is Alderman Mark Bonney of the 14th Ward proposed several changes to the dog ordinance. efforts, and many of them are really pretty good changes. I would say the one that got the most attention was he wanted to reduce the limit of dogs that a home could have from 4 to 3. And there was many other changes in there about sanitation conditions that dogs must live in, and those were all good. I think, though, the limiting of the number of dogs was something I certainly didn't support, and ultimately he withdrew that to now continue to allow families to have 4 dogs. So many changes were approved primarily around, you know, conditions that dogs are living in, also some responsibilities of owners. And some were, I think most people would have thought they were common sense, but you know, that common sense isn't always followed. So one of those is you can't have your dog outside at night from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Unattended, just out there barking, which makes common sense. But if we don't have an ordinance for it, it's very difficult for us to enforce that. So through his help, we were able to get that approved.
So then navigating through the rest of the week, some great news for the city. The Wake Championships are coming to town. That was something that just kind of came out of left field in my mind. I was like, well, I didn't know we were, one, I didn't even know there was such a thing. And now we're going to have it with some big cities across the country.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if we all realize how fortunate we are to have West Rock Wake Park out at Levings Lake, which is, you know, Levings Lake is obviously owned by the Park District, and West Rock Wake Park is owned privately, but it's located out there, and it's one of the best courses in the United States, and is routinely mentioned in that arena as the best in the United States. So we're going to have more than 400 competitors coming to Rockford and this will not just be good for Levings Lake, but it's good for our area because that'll have an economic impact of $500,000. And I do want to give a big shout out to Dan Jarrett, owner of West Rock Skate Wake Park, because without his idea to bring this to Rockford and to keep it here, we wouldn't be able to have wins like this. And we also wouldn't be able to have the daily enjoyment throughout the warmer months for all of our local residents.
And then finally, you were bringing up to me about a new partnership with UW Health, and I was like, I'm not sure what the partnership is. Tell us more.
Yeah, so thanks, Steve. Obviously, we've had a tremendous focus on domestic violence because it accounts for you know, more than 45% of all of our violent crime. One thing that we know that's really the most one of the most significant forms of domestic violence, which is strangulation. If someone strangles someone, they have increased their likelihood of killing that person by 700%. And so we have worked really hard to make sure that survivors of domestic violence know the severity of strangulation. And that may sound kind of common sense to folks, but you know, in the heat of domestic violence disputes, you may not realize that someone was actually trying to strangle you. And so we have done a lot of different things. One, we've trained all of our first responders so that they go out to these incidents and really ask survivors a list of specific questions. And our hope is through asking those questions that they understand the severity of it, but also our first responders and emergency personnel can urge them to seek medical care. And since we've been doing this, we've seen a 20% increase in survivors seeking that medical care for strangulation, because strangulation can have immediate impacts, obviously, by closing your airways, but you can also have some significant long-term impacts through this. So we are partnering with UW Health to hire 2 additional staff in the coming months who will work primarily in their emergency department, offering support and resources to patients who report being victims or are suspected victims of domestic abuse and specifically strangulation. So this will be a great partnership that will bring more awareness and to those survivors, but also better long-term health outcomes for those survivors as well.
Definitely awareness is the key. And what a week it has been, highs and lows. So is there anything else that you would like to bring up, maybe that popped in your mind, or are we set for the week?
The only thing I want to bring up, Steve, is a sincere thank you to you and your entire team there for shedding light on the survivors of last week, as well as those who are deceased. I think, you know, we live in this 24-hour news cycle, and sometimes it's not even 24 hours. But I think it really needs to be incumbent on all of us to remember and continue to remember those who passed away last week and were killed, as well as those who were injured and still recovering, both physically as well as emotionally and mentally recovering. And I just want to put a big thank you to the Rockford community. Their love and compassion for their fellow citizens is shining through in all the conversations I've had with families. One of the first things that they say is that they've just been overwhelmed with the amount of love that they've received from, if it's City of Rockford staff, if it's hospital staff, if it's neighbors or the broader Rockford community. They've all been overwhelmed, and that is deeply appreciated in this terrible time of grieving and loss that they're experiencing. So just a sincere thank you.
That is well said, and that's where we will wrap up this week in the State Line.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe, listen, and share this week's show and previous week's shows in their entirety at rockrivercurrent.com and in the free Rock River Current app. This Week in the State Line, produced right here in Rockford by Midwest Family Northern Illinois.